Legacy. The people I grew up with were raw material, prickly and crude at times, honest to the point of cruelty, nurturing in the way of wild animals. Fiercely protective of the babies, they watched older children from a distance for the truly life-threatening situations that called for intervention. When the danger signal was heard, we never asked questions. Story. I live on a working ranch where many mornings bucking contests break out in the meadow as men climb on to half-wild horses. One morning I hear shouts from there, and I step to the cabin door to see what's happening. My 5-year-old cousin is flying towards the open meadow astride a bridleless horse, the saddle slipping sideways, a deadly accident on the way to happening. "Jump," my aunt is screaming. "Jump," my father yells. "Jump!" My little cousin hesitates, frightened of the fall, and then I see her small body rise into the air and flop down onto the grass like a rag doll. A painful fall, but necessary. No one ever told me I could avoid pain, but my father always helped me prepare for it. When I was 19, I married a man whose adolescent bravado I mistook for the kind of wildness I grew up with. Too late, I found that there was no gentleness at his core. I felt like those nearly forgotten cowboys mounting broncs on cold mornings as I hung on to this monster marriage. Like the cowboys, I never remarked on the resulting bruises. I had picked this particular ride, and to complain would be bad form. But more and more often, I found myself standing between my husband and my children. During an overnight visit to my parents, my father came into the dark room after everyone else was asleep. "Things are bad?" he asked. My throat closed and I couldn't answer, but he sensed the tears rolling down my face in the dark. "I don't want you to give up if you can make it work," he said after a long silence. "But if it gets too bad, you can always come home." "Thanks," I managed to whisper. We never again talked about my marriage, but there was a message far stronger than his words that night. "Jump," I heard, "jump." And I began to loosen my hold on the monster and prepare to hit the ground.
Hello, this is Gustavo Brett, and this poem is called Harvest. Harvest your fruit, your pain and wheat, your bitter pills, O Lethe sweet. Harvest your tears, your mud and grief, the crying earth and ancient seeds. Apples, peaches, mustard greens, silence burns and freedom rings. Harvest your lover's summer sweat, her taste of freedom and lonesome quest. Swing, swing upon your lusty dreams, iced tea, bare feet and creamed caffeine. She bites your lip, warm August grass, her kindling spark scratches your back. Harvest your fears and garden loam, this corpse, this birth, this quest for home. The breath of fall chilled and clean, falling emeralds, dry and sweet. Loneliness and oppression descend once again. The heat and boredom of the late afternoon sun bear down and hold this heart hostage. The mind, like an obese vampire, belly spilling forth, blood and bonbons, filling a mouth of dull, unkempt fangs, the plaque and rot of old, old words, tired stories that gasp for breath and start again. I hold on only knowing that I am meant to stay. It seems as though there is nothing left to distract this barren field of heat and fatigue, of flaccid dreams and broken promises to one's own knowing. Her blazing horror stares me down as she drops from the sky into oblivion. Then dusk, then silence. Then a deep and sweet liquid fills the belly, the loneliness awash in something warm and thick, yet light as Eros. Light as the smell of ocean and salt, as the tip of her tongue, and the flash of complete surrender in her eyes. Dusk lifts this weight, this profound intimacy of knowing pain in its most ravenous state, and sensing its passing. The silence not heavy now, more like buttermilk and mint. The knowing of such closeness to one's own presence, one's own suchness, the kingdom of life and death together like a lover's final kiss, before sleep leaves us wrapped in our exhaustion and bliss.